The teaching that we want to share with you today is talking about things, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's interesting. Would you go with me to Acts 1:3, please? In Acts 1:3, it says, to whom also he showed himself. He's talking about Jesus here. It says, to all, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. In other words, after his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? To many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to just kind of go through it and just read about what took place in those 40 days that Jesus came back, and basically he went and he shared to his the apostles, the disciples, the people that he was with about the kingdom of God. Because remember, this is now after his death, burial, and resurrection. This is now under the new covenant. Remember, the old covenant is when he walked here on earth. He was still fulfilling everything of the old covenant. But now, he comes back. You know, sometimes I get to thinking about this and meditating upon this, and it just all goes to show the love of God. The love that God has for us. I think somebody was talking about God's I think the word that you used this morning was what? Faithfulness. That's right. His faithfulness to us. He sent Jesus Christ to us. But that in and of itself, okay, he wanted to make sure. Because really, if we look at the scriptures, you know, they were still hearing things through an old covenant kind of way. Remember when he talked to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, hey, you know the word of God, but it makes it of no avail, the way that you're interpreting it. They didn't have the revelation thereof first. And so now, he comes back, spends 40 days, and he starts now to go over these things. Just let's look in Matthew. In Matthew, he talks about Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20. Because he's talking to them, as he once says, to go and preach the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Which we're going to get into in our teachings later on. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever things I have commanded, or I have entrusted you to. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go and do likewise what I have taught you. Okay? Go and do. He kind of gave them the same commission as we look over in the book of Mark. Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, where he says, in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me finish and I'll come back. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Interesting there where he says, shall be damned. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but in prior times where I have read the scripture, I'm thinking, okay, if they don't get saved, that means that daddy's going to take two by four out and, you know, he's going to do the whacking. But that's not, that's the furthest thing. That's the old traditional. That's the Old Testament. That's the law way of my thinking. Because what it's saying there, it says, you shall be damned. It says, you're going to damn yourself, basically. Why? Because you're not going to receive from what God has provided for you. So you're your own damnation unto yourself. You're not going to receive what is freely given unto you and what's freely provided for you through my Son Jesus Christ. It's you that's going to be, you know, doing your own damning there. Let me go on because I love this one. Go with me to Luke right there. Luke 24. This is one that you know, maybe we're a little bit more familiar with as far as when we've looked at the things that Jesus did after his resurrection. In Luke 24, we find the two men on the road to Emmaus. And there, you can read when you have time, but reading from verse 45 and 40, well, hold on one second. In verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat and at meat with them, he took bread and he blessed it, and he brake and gave it to them. Interesting, because that takes me back to the when he was talking to them about his the Last Supper. But let's go on. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? They were now seeing what Jesus was sharing with them, now seeing it through the new covenant ways, through the new covenant manner, not through the old manner, not through the old way of looking at things, through that it was based on rules and regulations, but now under the grace and love. Now they were seeing those Scriptures come alive in revelation. And it goes on, because in verse 45 it says, then open he their understandings, that they might understand the Scriptures, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Verse 48, and ye are my witnesses, are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. These things, now they were starting to understand. Not with here, not with the Old Testament ways of thinking about rules and regulations, about things that I have to do to qualify, but now through the New Testament, the New Covenant, through grace and love. And it was being revealed to them now through the word that Jesus was putting them in remembrance. It takes me back over to 1 Peter, 2 Peter, when we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And as you read there in verse 3 and then go through verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, he goes on to show us all the different things. But then as he did, he comes up to verse 8. Let's look over there real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. And he says, for these things be in you. And you can read about all these things that he's talking about. And abound, they make you that they shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is the key right here. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. Talking about that thing about remission of sins, about that, you know, the sin issue is already complete. It's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. And I love the way that Peter talks about here, where in verse 12 he says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. In other words, it's encouraging to me because that tells me that, hey, sometimes when we're walking as Christians, you know, circumstances and things of everyday happenings kind of take our minds away about what really is truth. And so here it says, hey, I'm not going to be negligent about putting you in remembrance. And that's what the Holy Spirit does if we let Him, if we'll be attentive to His voice, is that the Holy Spirit will put us in remembrance of those things that God has said, that Jesus has taught us, and now we can come back on course to, oh, no, this is not mine. As my brother said about his leg this morning, oh, no, this ain't right, you know. Why? Because by His stripes, we were healed, okay? And so those are the things that brought us back. But let me go on. In John's Gospel, it's interesting, and he says, as the Father, John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, even though I send you. In verse 20 and 17 of that same scripture, feed my sheep. Interesting. Feed my sheep. Tell them about this. The old covenant in Jerusalem was a covenant that the kingdom that represented flesh is brought the people into bondage. In Galatians, go with me, Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul gives a nice allegory here. Galatians chapter 4, and starting when you have time, you can read this one. Verses 22 to 26, excuse me. But Paul talks about this allegory here. And he talks about what? When he was talking about Abraham had two sons, remember? And we've talked to this about this before, about the two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Okay. And even nowadays we have that same feud kind of thing. But what he's talking about is making the allegory also between old covenant, our works, and new covenant, grace and love. The promise, Jesus, Isaac, the promised son, and the old covenant, the laws, the commandments, and everything else that kept us in bondage and thinking about what we had to do to qualify, what we had to do to be accepted, what we had to do to think of ourselves as being righteous. That's the allegory. What he's saying to us is what he's saying to all the nations and everything else is that, hey, this issue about sin, it's done away with. It's taken care of. It's taken care of once and for all. So don't let it be the one that's going to be pulling you down and keeping you from receiving. And also from that, because from that standpoint of view, it's caused man in that manner, okay, the old way, we walk in what we could call like a slave mentality when it came to walking with God. We didn't see ourselves, listen to me, we didn't see ourselves as sons of God. We didn't see ourselves as how He sees us now, today, of who we are. Because that kept blinding us, kept telling us, oh, what do we have to do? What do I have to do to be worthy, to be righteous, to be that I could even come before Him? Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before, whoa, my gosh, but you just don't know what I've done. I remember thinking about those things like that. And, you know, ironically enough as it is, Who am I talking about? God, you just don't know what I've done. How absurd can that be? But that's the way that the enemy wants to kind of put it towards us. So that what? We don't see ourselves. Anything that he can do to blind us in the manner of speaking from seeing ourselves the way that we are, the way that he sees us as sons, and this is the plural in both genders, okay, sons and daughters, if you would, of the Most High God, in walking with a power that He has given unto us. It was interesting also that, you know, sometimes I read and I think, how could Israel think like this, you know? But I have to really, you know, then stop and think, well, we do the same thing. We do the same thing nowadays. It's just Israel, hey, God's children, God's people. Look with me, if you would, in Luke 24. Because, you see, sometimes we have an idea, okay? And it was just, it was not too long ago that I was talking with someone and we were ministering to someone, and I, you know, it's sometimes a question of if I see a situation, a circumstance, or what's going on, okay? And then we have a tendency to what? Try to analyze it and try to figure it out, correct? Okay, so, and if we do have an idea about how we can accomplish that, then, hey, we're doing good. We're doing good because all of a sudden, now we see it, okay? And let's say that this, excuse me, if I may, this is the little box in which I see it, that I can accomplish it, it can be done, it can be resolved, and everybody's happy. But we're limiting God. We're putting Him in this box without our really understanding that. Because maybe it's not the way that God would have us to see it, and that's not the way that God would have it to be done and carried forth. So what happens? We end up frustrated. We end up confused. We end up all the things that our enemy wants us to end up being. And see, Israel was in a likewise manner. There in Luke 24, verse 19. And he said unto them, what things that they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21. But we trusted, okay, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Okay? He was the redeemer. True. But it's how they saw him to be the redeemer. Remember in one of the Gospels where it says that he saw them and they wanted to make him like the king, and he just kind of fled through them, from them. Remember that? Okay. In Acts 1:6, where we've started in Acts. Acts 1:6. And when therefore, who are they? The apostles, the disciples, all those that were up there in the upper room, those 120, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Here he is, you know, here's that box again. We're seeing, this is, you know, why? Well, they were trying to get out from underneath the Roman rule and, you know, what they were under. And they saw him as the way, but in their own manner, in their own fashion, is the way that they were seeing him. In Luke, back in Luke, in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That is one of the keys in our teaching in this series, that the kingdom is not with observation. But the key is in the following verse where he says, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It's within each and every one of us. So that's what? As a kingdom of God, okay, that's within us, who are we? We are sons of God. And if we are sons of God, we are his heir. And we need to start walking as heirs. Empowered. Empowered of him. Seen of him. And although Jesus taught for 3 years, they still didn't see it. Because, again, remember, they were looking at it. They were hearing it through that filter of the Old Testament kind of ways. But now he comes back for those 40 days. And he starts to reveal to them. And now it is not something that is revealed from them from here. It is by his words and by the Spirit of the living God that is now given them a revelation of that. And now they're seeing it through the new covenant which is by revelation. And now they're able to partake of it and see it. So just as, remember in the Old Testament when it talks about, and in fact in the book of Hebrews where it talks about that there is that one in the book of faith, Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is whom? God Almighty. He's the one who's building that from within us. And now for the rest of the story, my lovely wife, Susan.
So the first kingdom, the old covenant kingdom that they talked about in Galatians, it says it's Jerusalem which now is. Those people were looking for a physical city, a physical city to be delivered. They were looking at, the kingdom was operated by rules and regulations, and it depended on the people to keep those regulations in order to walk with God. And then in Galatians, where chapter 4, it says, but the Jerusalem which is from above, which is what we're going to talk about now. The Jerusalem from which is above. If you go to Revelation chapter 21. This is when Paul was receiving a revelation. And it said in verse 9. One of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. He said, I'm going to show you the bride. And the Jerusalem which is above is made up of you and I. It's within us. We're the kingdom. It's all about us being one with him. If you look down in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the God did lighten it. And the Lamb is that light thereof. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 2, real quick, this further gives a little bit of light on this. Okay. And I'm just trying to find the verse number. Oh, verse 17. And he that has an ear, and let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To them that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save him that receive it. It's talking in Revelation chapter 21. About the city, let me find that again, I lost that thought here. In Revelation 21, it says, and he carried me away to the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city in Jerusalem, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as jasper stone, clear as crystal. So it says you're giving him the name of that stone. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save him that receive it. And in chapter 3, verse 12, he that overcomes will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So what he's saying is, New Jerusalem is you identified with Jesus. It's the bride. It's who you are. And that name that you're going to be given that no man knows save him that receive it, it's the name of God. But it comes through relationship. I can't give you that relationship. But He wants us to begin to see ourselves as one. In the Old Testament, they were separated from God by sins. But the new covenant, the new Jerusalem, the new kingdom that Jesus was talking to them about, he said it doesn't come with observation. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where we started, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. It said for 40 days he was seen of them. But the seeing is different. Of all those he appeared to, you can go into all the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It says some doubted, some were afraid, some were terrified, and some didn't even recognize him. Because the new kingdom doesn't come by observation. It doesn't come by what you see with your eyes. And they didn't recognize him with their eyes. Let's go to Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 16. This is talking about those on the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked over of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went on with them. But their eyes were holden that they did not know him. If you look at the same account in Mark, it says Jesus appeared in another form. They did not recognize Jesus whom they had been with. So how did Jesus show himself alive? The old kingdom worked by observation. It worked by what you saw. But the new kingdom doesn't work by what you see with your eyes. It works by revelation. From there it says, chapter 27 that Mickey read, Jesus struck up a conversation with him. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He began to go over the scriptures. But did you know that that wasn't even enough? They still didn't recognize him. Let's look at verse 30. In verse 29, it says, Jesus was going to go on farther. But those two people said, stay with us. And so Jesus stayed with them. And in verse 30 it says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. In verse number 35, they went on to tell some other people, and they told them the things that were done in the way, how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. They had an aha moment with God. And where did that moment come from? Let's go back and see what happened when they were originally having that Last Supper with Jesus. And that is in Luke chapter 22, verse 16 through 18. This is what Jesus told them as he was eating the Last Supper with them. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. It didn't mean anything then when they heard it. But suddenly they had a revelation of what that word meant. They had an aha moment with God. That's what it takes to enter the kingdom of God. God works on your heart. You get a revelation of him. And you're able to walk into that kingdom that's right here. You can't see it apart from revelation. We're looking for something that we can see with our eyes. But it's right here. And it comes as the Spirit reveals the Word of God to you. Let's look in Matthew chapter 26. This is the same incident in verse 28. or starting with verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. These people on the road to Emmaus, as they sat and had bread with Jesus, suddenly they saw something. They saw it by revelation. And that's the only way that we can step into the kingdom that's within us. It has to be by revelation. He shared the word, but did you know the word by itself is not enough? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. And this is just an account of those that saw Jesus during those 40 days. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, and then of all of the apostles. And the word seen there, it's not a casual glance. It means to experience him. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. This is Paul. Paul did not physically lay eyes on Jesus. How did he experience Jesus? His eyes were open to see into the spiritual world, but it came by revelation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, we're ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And you see, Paul knew the Word. He was an expert in his day. He knew what the Word said, but without a revelation of what that Word says, it only brings death. And you think about, what's the difference between us, between Muslims, between people that preach the law? We all have heard different things. A Muslim's been trained up from the time he was small to believe about God a certain way. But it's an ink on paper version of who God is. Paul had an ink on paper version of who God is. And it wasn't enough. It has to be revealed by the Spirit. The word born again, Paul said he was born out of due time. But that word born means to see it like never before. When it says their eyes were opened on the road to Emmaus and they knew him, the word open means to be as firstborn, to see it for the very first time. So when you're born again, you see into the kingdom through revelation eyes. And let's go to John chapter 3. We can see this real clearly there. Sometimes we have, in religion, we have words that are pegged with a definition. And it gets us confused. Born again, that means I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm going to heaven. But born again means you're seeing with different eyes. So in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came up to Jesus. And he said, we know you're a teacher that's come from God. Verse 2. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with them. Jesus spent 40 days being seen of them, doing miracles, proving himself alive. But it wasn't by sight. There was something else involved. And Jesus answered and said, you want to know how to have God be with you? You have to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're looking for a kingdom. Someday I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Someday I'm going to be delivered from my bondage. Just like the Israelites were, the Jews were. They were looking for Jerusalem to physically be restored. But it says here, if you're not born again, you cannot see into the kingdom that's right inside of you. It has to come by something else. And let's go on. Nicodemus says, how can I be born a second time and enter into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. The water, the washing of the water of the Word, it takes the Word and it takes the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation of that Word. And if you have Word that's been revealed to you by the Spirit, then you can see into this kingdom right here. You can begin to experience right here what's going on. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of God to bring revelation to you so that you can see into that kingdom. Going on to Galatians chapter 1, this just brings a little more to light. Paul, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received what he had. What made the difference in his life was he had an aha moment with God. His eyes were open to see spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I write in a few words. Verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, back in that story where it's talking about Paul having his eyes open, in verse number 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. We all know the definition for grace. It's unmerited favor. But it's more than that. Because the definition for grace is the divine influence of God on your heart and its reflection in your life. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that made Paul what he was. And it's that Holy Spirit that's bringing you revelation that really allows you to see into this realm, this kingdom, that we're all trying to grab hold of and try to find and try to bring it to us. It comes by revelation. It doesn't come by what you see. It comes by the Word. And as you spend time with the Word and relationship, God begins to bring you revelation. I can teach you things, but you know it's not yours until you get a revelation. And you know, we get into a lot of problems these days because the Bible said, now you are witnesses of these things. And we think of witnesses. Do you know about Jesus? Let me tell you. But the word witness means it's a living record, someone who has experienced it. And so when you become a witness, you share what God has given to you. But you know, apart from what God's given to me, I could go off onto another subject. And it might just be ink on paper. What he's really entrusted to you, he said, share the things I've commanded you. But those are the things that he's put right here that I've got a revelation of. And then they're alive. And you really never have it until you get a revelation of it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a scripture we hear all of the time. Verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened to us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Let's go down to verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained before that we should walk in them. You know what the definition of salvation is? It's walking in that realm where the Spirit of God is occupied. It's experiencing freedom. It's experiencing all the things that God has right here. And how do you experience those? By grace, by the prompting of the Spirit, as God begins to reveal to you the kingdom that's inside of you. When someone gets saved, I watched someone one time in Colombia, and she wanted to witness to some people, and they weren't interested. And she said, just say these words. Just ask forgiveness. Just say these words. See, something has to happen in the heart first. When you get a revelation of Jesus, that's the moment you begin to experience the things of the kingdom that are right here. They're going on right now, but it comes by revelation. And you hear the term falling from grace? Do you know what that means? Suddenly I begin to depend upon myself, upon my willpower, upon what I do, upon trying to meet the requirements of the law. The law said you can have a relationship with God if you do this and this and this and this. That's the old kingdom. But the new kingdom says you can have a relationship with God because he's going to work it inside of you by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's as the Holy Spirit reveals himself to you, suddenly you can see it. And you know, we have a lot of head knowledge. I have a lot of head knowledge. But God's the only one that can affect your heart. If you want to be able to walk out the things you know, it's the Spirit that's going to reveal it to you. It's by grace that you enter into that kingdom. Apart from that, you can't see in there and you can't enter in there. Because God provides for you what you need in order to walk with him. And it's by grace. And salvation is, now is the day of salvation. It's literally being able to walk in that experience of the kingdom that's within me as God prompts my heart. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He's the one that gives you those aha moments, that makes the word different, that makes it alive, that makes you different than other people. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just a matter of debate. I can tell you a great story, and you can believe what I say. But you know, a Muslim's heard a great story too, because it's been handed down to him from generation to generation. But unless it's quickened by the Spirit, it's not alive in you. And time for break.